Welcome back for another issue of Peer-to-Peer CEO Podcast, where I, Bethann Stubbe, am joined today by Joy Heath-Rush. Joy, welcome.
Hey, Bethann. Happy summer.
Thank you. I'm really glad that we're finally away from the cold, but now we're all sweating very heavily.
You know what? It's one of those things I must say, as I get older, I enjoy the heat more. So I think that's probably one of the hidden advantages of aging.
Well, one of the things we've talked a lot about is collaboration. And I think that the collaboration key for people who are working at home is finding the right AC temperature in the house.
That is absolutely true. And as you know, I'm a huge Big Bang Theory fan. And I loved in the very end of the series when they're talking about the fact that even though Sheldon didn't live in the apartment anymore, they still kept the thermostat at his level. And Leonard said, "And I'm always chilly." And Raj is like, "Is that why you always wear a hoodie?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." 12 years, now we know. So.
Well, the theme for this summer issue is Global Technologists Assemble. We talk a lot about legal collaboration, specifically this issue with our partners. And in your CEO column, we talked a little bit about stickiness coming to play in three forms. Mm-hmm. What do you think the most kind of sticky idea about collaboration from that work from home perspective has been over the last 18 months or so?
It's got to be video, Bethann. There's just no question about it. I mean, as someone who actually spent a long time in my last law firm job working on the issue of adoption of video, it was just a real battle. I mean, people saw the benefit of one-way video. That is, if you were doing a partner meeting and you could see who was presenting, or for CLE, those kinds of things, one to many. But the kind of interactive video is some people grabbed it and ran with it. Not many, to be honest. It was always a battle. And then all of a sudden the pandemic came and video was the only thing. And now it's interesting to have people say, you know, do you want to do just audio or do you want to do video? And they'll ask you, or sometimes they don't even ask, they just assume you want to do video. But it's changed the culture of collaboration so much in terms of tools. It's just, and I don't think it's going anywhere.
Which I think is really interesting. We do our podcast and you and I sit and we actually look at each other when we talk because it is more interactive. That collaboration piece is there. I can see those visual cues. And we talk a lot about those visual cues in the way that we're using products and services. Do you think that there are going to be changes? I mean, Zoom has been so ever present. Do you think there are going to be new kinds of tools?
Well, yeah. And I think that actually one of the first obstacles, I would say, or challenges is about interoperability between these tools. So if you're in a Teams meeting, you can join a Zoom meeting, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you've probably seen it, Bethann, with some of our volunteers where their organizations block Teams or block Slack or block Zoom or whatever it is. And so they can't participate fully in some of the collaboration we have. And that's just not a sustainable model. I mean, to tell you how old I am, in my early career, fax machines of different models didn't talk to each other. So if you had five clients with five different models of fax machines, your law firm had to have those same five models or you couldn't talk to those clients. That is just the truth. Well, that wasn't very sustainable, as you might guess. So it's the same thing here. It's people need to understand that these suppliers are committed to interoperability. And actually, there's been a lot of announcements just over the last couple of weeks along those lines from some of the video providers. So they get it. So that's one of the things that tells me that it's here to stay, because if it wasn't, they wouldn't invest resources there.
And I think that resources part of this plays very heavily into the next question I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. I had an interesting call with one of our kind of partner adjacent people this morning, one of our awesome consultants. When we were talking a lot about products and services that were in demand in office before the pandemic, and then not so much in demand now. And I mentioned to her that I thought it was really interesting that the AI movement had been so quick to push forward, to push forward for collaboration. But then it seems to have stopped a little bit. There's been that kind of pause within that service area. Do you think that will pick back up? Or do we think that people are finding other ways to collaborate or use tools that they thought they needed, but now don't?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. And I think part of what happened here that people didn't appreciate is that there were significant parts of, and I can't speak to law departments so much, but law firm operations that were way more manual, I think, than people realized. So when we went to work from home, there was a very urgent requirement to take highly manual or in-person processes and do something with them. I mean, one of my favorite ones is mail. There were a lot of organizations that were trying to figure out whether to scan and distribute mail, what to do about mail, what to do about printing physical records. You know, people who had spent their whole careers doing nothing but dealing with paper records is very important. All of a sudden, that job, for all intents and purposes, didn't exist, or at least not in the way that it did before. And then one of my favorites, and I will not out the law firm here, but there was a law firm that was moving into new headquarters right around the time of work from home began. And they had created a whole space for people to work on pre-bills and pro formas because they had this highly manual process. And all of a sudden, when they ended up getting in their space, they didn't need it because the old manual way of printing out pre-bills, having lawyers mark them up with a red pen, and then having someone go in and make the edits simply didn't exist anymore. It had gone away. And so a lot of things kind of got, I won't say dropped, but maybe backburnered to deal with this transformation. And actually, one of my running jokes is, you know, Ben, how many years have we talked about the paperless office? And it was always kind of the sacrificial lamb project in your budget every year. We're going to do this paper. And people are like, no, you know, that comes out. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, you know, we kind of have to do this thing because people aren't in the office to handle these tasks. So I think that it's not so much that there was an issue with the tools or even a lack of interest, that there were some business imperatives that were more pressing. And actually, what that's done is given the suppliers, I think, the chance to also take the tools to the next level, which is great.
Speaking of kind of that next level, one of the things I'm finding really interesting as we head toward, and we will talk about this shortly, as we head toward ILTACON Europe Legal Sec Summit, one of the things we've seen a lot of is the idea of that collaboration is no longer just with your staff, your firm, your IT department, or even just your peers. It's at conferences and with CLE. Can we talk a little bit about how CLE and conferences can be used as training tools since there's not so much in-person training anymore?
Yeah, and I think that using the word training, rather even maybe than education, is a good choice here because training implies more immediate practical application, I think, and that's part of it. So one of the things that's happening in training slash education kind of writ large is the same thing that's happening in the consideration for office space, which is we have to be purposeful about what we do in person. Okay, knowing that some things can be done remotely and sometimes very effectively, then we have to take our precious in-person time and use it for the things that in-person time is best for, which is stuff that requires interaction. But see, this is one of the things I think that makes the ILTA model so powerful. You know, we call ourselves peer-to-peer, it's the name of our magazine, because peers learn from peers. And it's not just the process of listening to somebody talk about their experience. It's the sitting down at lunch and saying, hey, I sat in on your blockchain session and I'd like to take a little deeper dive into what you're doing. Can we do that? And you continue the conversation. So the training and education is happening literally all the time when people are in person, not just during the sessions. And that's one of the things that's so fantastic about the in-person opportunities.
I'm excited to get even further back in person. Last year when we were in Vegas, it was great. It was a beauty part of being both hybrid and in person, being able to see people, but also being able to get the education online. This year we're fully back in person and we're fully back in a pretty big way. We're kind of headed all across the world, if you will. Let's start with ILTACON. What are you most excited about?
Oh gosh, this will be my 26th ILTACON, Beth Ann.
26.
Yeah, I was 10 when I attended my first one. I just want to be clear about that.
Very
That's
clear. Yes,
very
clearly
important.
10 years old. Very high
So
achieving.
26 ILTACONs. Some people don't know that ILTACON was the very first conference that was ever put on at the Gaylord National. We were there first. And so and I was president of ILTA board at that time. And so for me, it's kind of an interesting, emergence from the pandemic to be back at a place that has for me a lot of meaning. It's also DC's my hometown, so it's always fun for me to go back there. But I'm really looking forward to the reconnecting with people in person. It's just all there is to it. And the business partner community, the members, the consultants, the press, the vibe, is the only way I know how to put it. It's such a unique culture that we have at ILTA, and being able to immerse yourself in that culture for a week, that's pretty exciting.
We have released the grid, so we're excited about that. There's a ton of new kinds of programming. We're trying different models. We're having different gatherings. And I think we're interacting with people in ways that we hadn't before. I know that Dawn Hudgens, our VP of Service Delivery, is really excited about ways that we are bringing education a little bit more of a trickle down track this time, and then changing the way we have set up the exhibit hall. So I think there's a lot of new things for people. I think it'll be really interesting. Following up from ILTACON, we're going straight back to Texas. You should be well familiar with this conference. This is Legal Sex Summit. What are you excited for there?
I love Legal Sex Summit. I always have. And we used to do it together with SharePoint Symposium back in the day. And we used to overlap them in a week. And for me, it was always a great fun week because it really satiated my inner geek. And not that there's not plenty of good technology programming at ILTACON, there always is, but there's also a lot of leadership and management programming. When you're going to something like our Mastering Microsoft Teams event, I mean, this was really geeky. How do I, provision a Teams space? And when you get to LegalSec, it's so focused on security, which, nobody can get it 100% right. It's too difficult, it changes too fast. And the only way that we can be as good as we can be is to talk about it with each other and collaborate. And this is truly one of those areas where no technology is going to give any organization, a law firm or a law department or law school, any kind of competitive advantage. This is truly a rising tide raises all boats. Whatever cliche you want to use, we're only as secure as the weakest link in the chain. And we have issues that some other organizations don't have. I mean, I think the thing that is most important to understand is that if a hacker goes after a Fortune 500 company, they're going after that company's data. Hacker goes after a big law firm, they're going after 50 Fortune 500 companies at once, potentially, or 100 or whatever it is. So the understanding that we have not only a business, but an ethical imperative to protect this data. And it's in a different class than you see in individual businesses dealing with their individual data. And we have all different industries that have different regulatory requirements. From country to country, just how law firms are regulated and not regulated and operate in multiple countries. I mean, it's challenging. And so the ability to really immerse yourself into this super geeky security stuff is fantastic. As I said, I love that event. I can't wait to be there.
It'll be good to be back in Texas, and it'll be really good to be back with people who are in that kind of very specific sphere. Mm-hmm. But as we said, country to country, as we round out the year, we'll be at ILTACON Europe. We're back.
Bethy, and you know how much I love that event. I was on, again, showing my age, I was on the very first organizing committee for the very first ILTACON Europe. And there are some folks that were around then are still around. Damien Bean, I'm talking to you. And I'm so glad you're still working with us on this and others. But we've been missing from the UK for a couple of years for that, although we have continued to have tremendous vitality in our SIG program, our special interest groups in the UK. They actually return to in-person meetings much more quickly than are members in the United States and Canada. And so that is just a vibrant, communicative bunch. And now we're going to have a chance to bring a bigger group together. I'm excited that we're hosting it at a law firm, which I think just adds a level of intimacy and a level of connectedness to it that you can't get any other way. And we have a tremendously enthusiastic supplier community. So I think it's going to be good stuff. And we've got some keynote folks that are not to be missed at that event.
I'm really excited about the keynotes. I want to tease them, but we'll wait a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to have, for everybody out there, note to self, your law, you practice law. We have to have signed contracts before we can give names. So just saying, working on it.
Well, we are. And there's a lot coming down the plate. This is the summer issue. By the time we hit fall, we'll have had a couple conferences, a couple hundred sessions, it'll feel like, but it'll be good to be back in person and it'll be good to continue our collaboration.
Yeah, we had an in-person social here in Chicago last week that was incredibly well attended. And yes, it was a beautiful night. It was outside and it was clear everybody was just happy to be back together.
Yes, and Rivers is a fantastic location and with fantastic people and some great sponsors for the event.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining and collaborating with me today as we collaborate for the rest of the summer issue of Peer-to-Peer.
Thank you, Beth Ann. It's always a pleasure. And everybody out there listening, looking forward to seeing you in DC and or San Antonio and or London in the second half of the year.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Take care.